This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, January 17th,
2007.
Do we have any late additions to the agenda? okay. Report from the chair. Obviously, President Thornton isn't here today, and we do have him booked on the calendar for February 7th instead. So this date was always kind of an iffy one. You'll remember because he was just getting back. So we have him coming down. So, in that regard, we have also talked about having Jim Sheridan come to kind of review the goals and stuff that we've set for the year, and then talk about what we're going to do for the leadership launches and set those up. So I was thinking about Wednesday the 31st. We actually have an extra Wednesday in January. I was wondering what you all thought about the idea of maybe having a meeting then where we can invite Jim. I don't know if he's available. I haven't even asked him yet. But I just thought I'd throw that one out there to see, because that way we could get him in sooner and then have the meeting with David on the 7th, and then we would be ready to roll for the leadership lunch meeting. Does that sound like a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
I know people's schedules are tight, but okay, so Beth will check and see.
I can put it right on the schedule.
Thank you. If he's available on the 31st, then we'll go from there and we'll let you know about that.
Yeah, I won't be here on the 7th because I'll be at a conference.
Okay.
In Florida, but...
Oh, I'm so old.
You had to put that in there, right? You had to put that in there. I'm just out of town.
Bring me back something. I want a kite.
Some shells.
That's really unfortunate. You have to be in Florida,
but I'll be here. I'm 31st. I'll be here.
Okay. All right. So we'll give it a shot and see how that goes. What else? I wasn't able to make the Ezra celebration. You remember I was fighting a cold the last time we met, and I just didn't think it'd be a good idea to go hand out cake and breathe on people. Can somebody tell me how that event went?
Very well.
Yeah, it was well attended.
Yes.
Cake was good.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of EA people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Michael dished out cake.
Loved it.
I heard.
And there were, I think there was an EA person at every cake. There were three cakes.
Great.
So I think we were well represented.
Plus myself and one of our other officers.
Great. Thank you. That's good. So when will we have this splash in the top print, and when will this be published? Ezra's birthday in the cake.
The Chronicles or something like this week.
Okay.
I may do a photograph next time.
Okay. We wanted to make sure that people knew that we knew it was Ezra's birthday on the day. So that's why I'm just making sure that we're going to get that communication out.
I think I wrote about it in my news and views too. Mm-hmm. Birthday. So.
Yeah, the special Chimes concert too, and that will be up on Cornellcast, I think today or tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So to coincide with the Chronicle coverage. So if you want to hear and or see our Chimes mistress, Gretchen Ryan, who is also staff. She certainly did a wonderful job. However, Happy Birthday will be edited out because of copyright issues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
We can play it on the Chimes for just to play it, but you can't record it.
Does somebody actually own Happy Birthday?
Michael Jackson.
But
anyway, they edited it out. It'll be fine.
Copyrighted piece of music.
And it is period music.
Michael,
you're making that up.
No, I'm not making
that up. You still all the Beatles, though. He had a
money troubles, they sold them to Paul.
Paul bought it.
You know, the Seminole Tribal Florida just bought the rights to all these 50 songs. And they bought the Hard Rock Cafe chain.
Right.
And they bought hundreds of songs.
Oh, really?
Right, yeah.
Good for them. That's very enterprising. So if you want to relive the experience of Thursday, it will be up on Cornell Cast, both the video and the audio. Great for you to download. I think it's supposed to go up later today. And then the banners have been placed around.
Yeah, they look neat. Sure.
And we're getting some nice feedback on that, so that's nice to see. Just kind of a reminder to people that
they look great.
Great. Well, I'll pass that on to the designer in Southern Marketing that did that. And she actually, Wendy Kinnisburg is one of the designers over there, and she actually embraced the project and worked with Nina Amundson to get approval. And Nina actually was very energetic about the whole project and thinks we should now have a phase two and where we might put them for phase two, and we need a little bit more money for that to happen. But and then Dennis Osika and the grounds guys put them up. Actually,
yeah.
So.
Yes, they did.
And for those of you who didn't make the birthday cake deal, the lady who made the cakes actually took Cornell seal and those banners and made them in a sugar paper and put them on the cake.
Wow.
So that was the decoration of the cake.
Yeah, the banners, because the banners went up the same day, so we put the banners on the cake.
There was a huge turnout, too. Yeah.
That's great.
I heard 400, but I don't know where I heard that. Is that right?
150 paper quarter. Journal said 150.
350?
Okay.
All right. Great. Okay. I'm excited for everybody who helped pull that together. It's great. That's about it. I have a thing for it. Michael. You have a trustee update for us?
The trustees will be meeting next week for a full slate of committee meetings and board meetings and a meeting with the Board of Overseers as a yearly joint meeting. And so I will be able to report on that at our next meeting, or that is taking up all that time in the meeting after that. But that will be my report.
Great.
That's in New York?
That's in New York. I didn't like to say anything because Leon got shot.
I didn't want to say.
But yeah, New York.
Well, New York in July and January is a little different than
March.
February.
Okay, so moving to the agenda, you'll see the next item is committee reports, and we talked about this at our last meeting about listing all the committees here just to get in the habit of making, you know, doing the. Just updating everybody on what we're up to. So, here we go. First committee there is SRHC.
Well, you know, we gave out 2 George Clear Awards in the last 2 months. And we're meeting again Friday. Great. Deliberations.
And we have nominees and...
I believe there's some in the pipeline.
So go. When is the next award scheduled?
March.
Any questions for SRHC? All right, communications committee.
All right. We have a meeting tomorrow. But we had a meeting last week?
2 weeks
ago. We have some indefinite dates. We have 3 dates. We decided that we're going to go with our original plan. 3 questions. I did not bring those questions with me.
They're very
well.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're gonna have the meeting on March 19th in Geneva and the meeting on May 1st at Willard Strait. We are going to have sandwiches, chips, cookies, real close to what we did for the presidential address. And on April 10th at Appel, we're going to have a breakfast meeting, which will capture people who don't like to be out in the middle of the day.
Or third shift.
Or third shift as well, yes. And that menu will be, bagels, pastries, fruit,
you know, cream cheese, butter, blah, blah, blah. Juices and coffee and tea. And we'll also be a buffet style. So the dates again are March 19th, April 10th, and May 1st. If you can, you know, clear your schedules and attend those, that would be really awesome.
Okay. Did the committee work anymore on the format of the meetings?
I think we're going to go into format tomorrow to you know, start counting out the hard details. What we do know at this point is that Peter's working on the flyer. I'm working on the PowerPoint presentation that we're going to use. It's going to be very, very brief. The PowerPoint is going to be very brief showing the results. That'll click through. You know, a lot of people are visual. It's not going to be elaborate. We're not going to spend a lot of time on visual. We've decided that we're going to have a sheet on each table with the questions. Kind of like we did at the first one, the very first chili chat that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because that stimulates a little bit more conversation between the people at the tables. And we'll be gathering those sheets. Post-it notes are great, but when you've got a bunch of different people writing, and those huge post-it notes, especially now that I do this on a much more regular basis in my job, they're harder to work with when you are tallying those answers. Whereas if you've got a piece of paper like this, it's much easier to, even if you've got a stack this big, it's just easier to work with when you're transcribing those into results than those huge post-its that you're trying to attach to something so that you can work with.
So each person will have a list of questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just for clarification again, the purpose of these three meetings is to do what?
We're going to dig the results that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We do have three questions,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of a result. I don't want to say this. We're more giving the results of what we found and maybe some suggestions
mm-hmm.
than a fact gathering, which was the intent in the beginning. We gathered the information from the staff.
Mm-hmm.
We gathered those results.
Compiled.
We compiled the information. We came up with our suggestions.
And now you're sharing that.
And now we're sharing that information with the powers that be.
Okay.
So that we can hopefully, you know, give them some information, give them some ideas, get conversation going within the department.
And the target audience for these meetings is the supervisors?
The people who
make the decisions?
That make decisions around time off.
Okay.
Which might not necessarily be a supervisor.
Sure.
You have admin assists who supervise people.
Right.
Which is why we're calling it the leadership lunch.
Okay.
As opposed to
supervisors,
because
they might not.
A faculty can be a supervisor.
Sure.
It'd be great if faculty.
It would be fabulous if that was the case, because they need to understand. I was in a position in nutrition where my supervisors were faculty. And they made those decisions.
I mean, we were hearing a lot about that. But remember the vet school? That was
yes.
In particular, we were hearing about the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
How they seem to be a little more insensitive to me with that. Is that delicately book?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Not my department.
They're great.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's the same thing everywhere. It's just like all the stuff around here. You know, it's different in different places.
But this will also, hopefully, this will help to get some consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because there is, unfortunately, because we don't have centralized. Cornell is very unique in that there's not a lot of centralization. We allow departments to go on their own because it works very well. It will help to at least get some consistency in following ideas.
Yeah, I would just add that Cornell, I don't think Cornell is actually unique in that. I think most institutions of higher education are like that.
Maybe it's just this time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have departments where I'm getting time off. I was in a class yesterday with four supervisors, and it was interesting to hear just from different departments where some are very strict and some are very, you know, if someone comes up and says, I want vacation, the supervisors are just like, that's your time. You can take it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Whereas other departments are very much, you know, we want to know why, the reasoning, blah, 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 and it's just the ranges, which just reinforced to me why we have the inconsistencies when we were going to all these different chili chats and the responses that we received. That's where that stands. And we want to get going on this, so we will be meeting again tomorrow and be hammering out some of those actual technical, what is the format, how are we going to do
this? Because we'll want to get that to Jim so he can, you know, back to help us.
And I said, I'll just put it on the calendar.
Okay. I know, that's pretty handy. So any suggestions for committees to just kind of keep in mind as they work to put this together, or are we all...
How are we inviting folks to this?
We discussed that, and we are going to ask Mary to send out an announcement on the dean's, directors, and department head email list, letting them know that this will be happening and that they will disseminate the information.
Dennis, yeah.
I just wanted to mention that I don't think you were here for the last time Mary met with this group, but there really is not electronic dean's, directors, department heads list.
Oh, okay.
So the stuff all has to go out basically in writing.
Okay.
We got something popping and other emails for
new
constituents.
Okay.
Can I just make a comment? I have concerns about the DDD list and the effectiveness of it and who that hits. Just not too much of a snag here, but if it goes to the department head and doesn't move off the desk of the department head, I have concerns about how well you're reaching the people that you're trying to reach. And I just thought I would offer that because I personally, over the years of, you know, working to communicate with people, have not found the DDD list to be effective. It's a low priority. Folks recognize it as a DDD. It's low priority for being read, and then again, it doesn't always get passed on. So
do you have any other suggestion on how to reach the folks, managers, and supervisors, other than what we're doing in
HR?
Are there other HR lists? Email listener.
That's an HR community list.
Right.
That might be a better idea where then the HR folks are then sending it out in their units trying to say, you know, those of you who supervise people might be interested in going to this, and that might be a more effective way of getting that. I think that's a good idea.
They're also a supervisory training group that
I can check on that as well.
Because I think that would... Or maybe folks who, I don't know, how from that shop.
Right.
I can't remember the name of it. What is it called now?
LGBT.
Okay, you're over there with Nancy and Jim and all that.
Right.
You know, I don't know if there's a list of folks who have taken supervisory courses.
That's what I was just saying.
That, you know, that because there's the intro one and then there's the other one.
Right.
That folks might be interested, those who have taken that, to know that there will be that mechanism. That would be a good one, too.
Right.
Will this be put on the Cornell University events calendar also?
I don't see why not. I mean, we can say it's open to those who supervise.
Managers and supervisors.
And, you know, with the description, you have the opportunity to say, you know, this is follow-up to feedback that were offered in other forums to the EA. We're looking for feedback from supervisors. And it's perfectly okay to say, open to supervisors.
I did put that description on the event at Willis, right? When I reserved the room.
Oh, uh-huh.
the thing that in ComCom that we discussed was we want to be careful about using the actual term supervisor, because we don't want to limit it to people who simply supervise. Because again, you have people in all different positions who do supervise. Where that might not be their, it might be tacked onto their job.
Yeah, I think we'll just have to be careful about the language of it.
So that we'll put that at the top. You know, we'll put that close to the top of our to-do list tomorrow, is how to get this information out there, because we're coming up on it quick.
Yeah.
March doesn't sound like it's around the corner, but it sure is. So we need to advertise quickly.
Can you give us a time for May 1st?
It'll be a noon.
Noon?
Mm-hmm.
Was May 1st the breakfast or not?
No. Geneva is a noon meeting.
Noon, okay. To 1:30? Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Appel is 7:30. And then we'll straight as noon.
Day of the
May
week,
1st, I'm sorry. That's a Tuesday?
Which day do you come with?
Which day of the week?
Okay.
April 10th?
April 10th is a Tuesday. And March 19th is and Monday.
Anything else from communication committee? All right. Moving on to finance. Pat is here today. I'm the other member of finance. You know that she put together a whole list of stuff for us, and everybody hopefully has reviewed it. So that when she gets back, we can put the final details on that. But it was about, the last discussion was about trimming our budget. We had put, you know, I mean, that's what we did when we put together a budget, right? You dream about all these great things that you want to do, and then you cut them all out. So that's where we're at. I believe that she left it with the chairs of each committee to go back and look at their budgets and see what they can chop out.
Away, because I sent her a list of questions that she
asked. Yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at there. Any questions that I can take back to Pat that we can answer before next meeting?
So is the next meeting when we're going to see the results of all the feedback?
Yeah, that was my understanding, was that each chair was supposed to get back to her via email with their revised budget. Did everybody else understand that the same way?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought too. And then she was going to compile that and let us know where we stood after the first cut. Right. Okay. Emergency grant fund. Did that get any?
No.
Any meetings for us?
Okay.
So does that mean there's nobody has come forward asking for money?
I have no idea, because I've been out on
leave. So yeah, that means that there hasn't been any requests.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is pretty nice.
There was an article about it being available, made available for the flooding at the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nothing came out of that. No one.
Evidently not.
Mm-hmm.
I've read that article twice.
Yeah.
That's and then what is the budget? What does that look fund look like, dollars wise, roughly?
$17,000 in it, and plus we have $20,000 in a interest bearing account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That was one good thing we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's just sitting
there,
not quite.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said it was invested in Google.
No.
Okay, well, all right, nothing more there. Employee education committee. We haven't got anything going on right now.
probably until we get to the seed event. Usually it's mm-hmm. the spring thing that employee education committee gets geared up for.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And employee education has something to do with the staff graduate reception.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Before seed.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Thanks, Joel. Yeah. Yeah. It's usually in May, right? Beginning mm-hmm. of May.
It's graduate.
What's that?
It's graduate.
Yeah, right. Or at least make sure that it's
right.
close. Right?
Right.
So, more to come. IOC.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of items, actually.
Okay.
So, we received no applications. In addition to the efforts made to find someone for the MCC on the board. So, you know, we'll give it a couple more days to see if anything comes in and then proceed with the one applicant that we have, Carrie Howell, and processing that. And what I'd like to do is the members of that committee will see it and then we'll send out her brief bio so you all can read it and make commentary and get it processed one or the other. Subcommittee master plan, community forums are coming up. On the 7th and the 8th of February. The 7th will be at Willard Strait from 11 o'clock to 3 p.m. And on the 8th will be downtown at Hilton Hotel from 4 to 8 in the evening. And these are open community forums. And Mina has asked me to relay this to you so that you can ask staff members or members of the community. It's totally open. There's no requirements or RSVPs. Just go.
So February
7th and 8th. I understand within a few days, although in the conversation she said that this would be up in 2 days, but maybe she said, well, maybe it'll take a week. A frequently asked questions about the community forums will be up on the master plan website.
The 8th
is 4 to 8 p.m.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and that's all that's planned for the moment.
The 7th again.
7th is at Willard Strait.
What time?
7 to 3 p.m.
11
in the morning to 3 p.m.
And the format of those open houses is that the consultants, urban strategies, who you'll remember, they came in. We'll have a bunch of boards around the room that kind of talk about the master plan and what the assumptions are and what the key objectives are. Of those sort of things will all be there. So you can just kind of mill around and read all about it. And then, since you can't digest all of that, because there'll be about 30 boards, they'll also be on the website for these people later.
Question I have, how does Mina plan to actually collect feedback? Is she going to have note cards that people will fill out?
There. I don't know exactly. I mean, I imagine she'll have something. If she had a few things that she hadn't worked out yet in regards to these, which is...
Yes. Actually, we have a postcard that's being put together. It has the website on it, and we're encouraging people to reply.
But
encouraging people to reply via the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, not fill out things that they're going. Yeah.
You've
been saying that right along. Yeah. So that's
going to
be the feedback
mechanism
for people to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone on that?
Where?
One of
the main rooms.
The
memorial. There's a big one on the first floor.
Yeah. What?
Where's on Willow Street?
No, the Hilton.
The Hilton.
Yeah. Okay. Executive committee. We met last week.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. One of the things we talked about was the change in the agenda. We have the committee reports listed there. Another thing, I'm sorry Ari isn't here today. He was encouraging us to rethink the format, but how we went about making decisions at our meetings and starting to draft resolutions when we have action items under Alec. I know. he was really pitching for us to do this, and I'm going to ask Peter Ishley this time in summit since he's our parliamentarian. But Ari was saying that by crafting a resolution, it just, you know, there's a whole other process that goes into effect when you do that. I know that in the past, drafting resolutions has been so tedious that people will go and try and go and try and go and try, and finally it'll get dropped. And then nothing gets done. And that's what's happened in the past. And I relayed that to him also. So I thought we could have just a real fun discussion about that today, about the pros and cons of drafting resolutions. And Michael, I'm hoping that you'll chime in on this as well.
What is, what is the process for the other assemblies, like the student assembly and the graduate professional assembly?
Yeah, I can show that your way.
Well, it would be to write a resolution when you bring situation or a topic forward. Many times you bring it forward for discussion with a resolution, and you kind of try to provide the context and the background and the reasons why, and then what your recommendation or resolve would be. And it really is a way to that helps one kind of organize their thoughts around it and organize a topic so that you bring it forward for greater discussion. But it is used in all the other assemblies.
I mean, that same that model is used, so we don't use that model here, you're saying?
I think it used to be.
But
it's
not been so used with any regularity for the 13 or 14 years that it's
Ari and I went back through the books, and we found the last real year that the resolutions were posted was about the year 2000, 2001. It was basically a budget. There were some items there, something from you about changing the list of signatures for trustees. For a candidate for employee elected trustee from 200 signatures to 50 in order to encourage more people to run. And another thing was about when employees take courses at Cornell, that's basically income provided to them. Mm-hmm. And should that be included on income tax? And apparently the lobbyists in Albany decided no, that should be a benefit. And so the resolution was written that says, applauding this, this resolution that we supported.
A lot of times it helps to carry your discussion out of this room and into other realms where you can have a greater impact. For example, if there's something that this group feels strongly about and wants the president to hear it, yes, you're having more regular meetings with them and everything. But a formal resolution, has a little bit more formality and a little different feel. Is that, we're presenting to you this in a more formal way that presents this is how we're feeling about it, and we support X, Y, or Z, or we disagree with X, Y, or Z, and can be effectively used as a tool.
John.
Yeah, what you're saying is true. A lot of what we do. It's not in that vein.
Resolution worthy?
Yeah. I mean, whereas the sun is shining, whereas the wind is blowing, be resolved that the employee assembly have a kite flying cut. This sounds really goofy.
And I totally agree with that.
But when we do have stuff that, like, hopefully we'll get this leadership luncheon deal, we'll put some together, you can put a resolution to the Office of Human Resources to do this and this. That to me is applicable.
Yeah.
But I don't. One size doesn't fit all. To be a concern that we don't have resolutions.
Yeah, and actually, Joe, you give a really good example, and that came up at our executive committee meeting because Peter brought that up. He said, so like chili chat would be something that we would do resolution on.
I don't think we need that much formality of having a resolution. The idea I like is having some kind of notes to chronicle our ideas, because we've had a lot of ideas come up that just vanished after the meeting because we forgot about them or they just kind of fell by the wayside. So maybe not a resolution necessarily, but I thought the idea of having some kind of record of
what we've come up with, so we can look every now and then and say, oh, we're sensitive to what we're doing with this. Nothing specific, but.
So just for clarification, so if the assembly comes up with something from Chili Check, the formal way, the process to do that is through a resolution to Mary, for example, not like a letter from Donna to Mary on behalf of the assembly. It has to be a resolution. Okay.
Well, that would have to be, but it's more formal.
It's formal.
Yeah,
sure.
It's formal.
Okay.
And it's what the other assemblies are using as well.
Okay.
And it does help give, you know, your body some body.
Sure.
I'm
just going to mention that I think the resolutions are especially a good idea if you want somebody to do something, you want somebody to take action. That is probably the best group that you have.
And you trust, you know, don't get the wrong idea. You don't have to have a resolution for everything that you think about or talk about.
So if you feel strongly
or you want to move something out of this forum and into another realm, I think it would be a very useful tool. And, you know, would like, and I'll speak personally now, you know, would like to see this body function more in an advisory, you know, capacity. I think that's part of why you're here, you know, to promote communication and be the voice of staff and move those ideas forward so that administration folks who are making decisions are hearing what you're hearing.
Amy, you have some.
Just mostly, I mean, the thing with the Chili Chat, in the resolution, it applies. I mean, in the charter, it lists, you know, what you do as far as take care of staff. The Chili Chat goes right along with your charter. So you would sort of like use that part of the charter as content into the resolution stating, you know, this is what we do. It's listed in our charter. This is what we found. And in resolution, you know, these are our suggestions. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like the beginning to the end.
So since 2001, which at least according to the records that you found, there's been nothing between now since 2001 and today that we haven't, I don't get it. There's been nothing.
No, as I said, there have been several failed attempts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think the last one actually, the member left the meeting crying. Do you remember that?
That's unfortunate.
It was unfortunate.
And we would, the office, from an administrative standpoint, would like to support staff in crafting these, not writing them necessarily for you or putting those words in your mouth, but, you know, if Ari and or Amy can help with crafting a resolution because they're more familiar with them, you know, we stand ready to help you on that. You shouldn't feel like you go back to your office and you don't know how to do this and don't know how to write a resolution, and therefore it doesn't get done. That would be unfortunate. And so we, you know, be happy to do that.
So basically, like we've done in Chili Chat, we've got our data and we have our recommendations. However, we would take the day off between the holiday break and Memorial Day.
Right.
We would make a resolution that we get the Friday of spring break off, as opposed to just going to administration and saying, look, we think we should get this day off because blah, 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 blah. We would actually write a resolution for that.
It would be our data.
But we wouldn't necessarily write a resolution because we want to have a series of forums for children.
Another great example might be, and I keep hearing bubbling about, you know, when the university perhaps designate Martin Luther King as the university Martin Luther King Day as the university holiday, and I've heard that mentioned a couple of times. And if were that to come up, that might be something that the assemblies might want to solicit feedback from him and then create a resolution that would be in support of or whatever, you know, whatever. I would, you know, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth or anything, but that would be an example where, you know, a decision that's being made at this university that has a huge impact that you might like to offer your opinion on and have that be a little bit more formal. I think it could be very useful.
One of the questions that Leon had was what's the procedure? Maybe there is a standard procedure that the student assembly uses, or we could come up with our own in regards of, because I've been on many boards, and procedures range. Mm-hmm. You know, some people just bring them, slap them down, read them there, and you're gone. And others, you got to submit it 2 weeks ahead of time.
Right.
They have to be read. They have to go through committee, three stamps. You know, so
right.
You know, I think for some of the larger than life issues, you know, that we're dealing with, like the chili chat and recommendations.
That's not
larger than life. That's the
biggest
one we got.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know.
And I think you guys could decide that, you know, on what your process might be. I mean, we've certainly seen resolutions in the other bodies hang around for a while and be discussed for weeks. Generally speaking, you know, someone would sponsor a resolution and it would go out with an, on the agenda, and it would be distributed with the agenda so that one would have time to look at it. And yeah, sometimes topics don't go away quickly because people feel strongly about them, you know, even the people around the table. And so sometimes, you know, they hang on for a while, sometimes they don't. I think it would vary from topic to topic. I'm not pushing, you know, for any set number. I think if there's a need that, that it would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Following up on what Peter said, I think that he's also right in that we do bring things to the table and they kind of get lost in the shuffle. And my first initial thought was, well, that's why we have minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest, I read the minutes and it's like, okay, yeah, that's right. I don't go back.
Right.
So it might be a great idea to talk to your colleagues. So maybe I nominate Peter to set up some sort of notebook or, you know, maybe he had something in mind. You keep a list of those things that come to mind, you know, that pop up in a meeting. You know, Leon was really great about keeping the kite flying, which I hope he has yet to forget about because I really want to fly kites with him, that he brings back to me in Florida. things like that just kind of get pushed to the side because we have more important things on the table at the time so that they don't get lost in the shuffle. And I think we do need some sort of system like that, but not necessarily that would require a resolution.
Yeah, I mean, to go back even further, one of the great ideas that came out of our retreat was the work in my shoes, and then we called it walk in my shoes. And
right.
We had to kind of put that on hold because
mm-hmm.
President Sport's calendar and stuff was just so busy, it wasn't going to work out. But that's something that we had talked about doing for next year. So, you know, there's an idea that's from the fall.
I think it's important that we don't recreate, you know, reinvent the wheel here because the minutes already exist. And I talked about this with Amy and Ari months ago about reorganizing the minutes so that at the top, you know, you put the action items that were talked about,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody's responsible for saying, hey, you know, these are things we talked about, let's keep them on the coming agendas. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think what you know, I'm afraid that we're going to start tacking new things and kind of get lost in the sauce, and then the minutes become this other document of just running dialogue. So we can use the tool that we already have. And if we want to appoint the parliamentarian to keep us on task for those things and action items, and then
mm-hmm.
if those action items get to the point where they might need a resolution.
What do you
all
think about that?
It's
pretty straightforward.
I think if this was the student assembly, that would be a resolution.
Yeah.
that's just the way they do things.
Resolution to revise the format of the
that's
minute.
Just
yeah.
the way they do
things.
Maybe we can compromise and make a motion.
So the motion on the table is, jump into discussion.
If it would help, I could the copies that I made for us, I could certainly make copies for all of you so you could sort of get a flavor of the topics that have been brought up in the past. I mean, we went back to 95 and found a few, and we found a few in 97, and, you know, I mean, I sort of skipped around.
Oh, wait a minute. Copies of resolutions that have been made
right.
in the past?
So
Sorry.
So if that would be helpful to you to see sort of, I mean, some mm-hmm. of them aren't whereas and what to for and all of these things. Some of it was EA budget. Communications Committee, Emergency Grant Fund, equals $9,400. And that is the entire resolution. It, that just shows the budget for this year as this is what the EA did, this is where we spent our money, and this is on budget. That's all it is. And then some of the other things are a little bit more complicated. So if you all are interested and would like to see prior resolutions, I would happily copy them all out and send them to you hard copy.
Are they online or just hard
copy?
Well, what's easier? Hard copy or electronically?
Hard copy, definitely.
Okay.
I got the copy.
So would everybody like that? I mean, we haven't quite gone through this with the motion, but say that we do. It seems like that would be a good reference for people to have. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So back to the...
Was I thought that there was, I'll kind of put this motion out there, what I thought I heard, was to revise the format of the minute so that action items will be, where shall we put it, right under the attendance list? Action items will be displayed right under the attendance list on page one.
So how about this? If I might just make a suggestion, if Peter wants to make a list and email to me, I will put that list directly under the attendance sheet or wherever it is that you guys choose. Would that be, that way it's coming generated from you all, but the actual printing and work will be generated by me. Would that be?
Okay, so the motion now is that action items will be listed on page one of the employee assembly minutes directly under the attendance list as provided by the parliamentarian to the Office of Assembly.
Okay,
whatever we do.
Yeah. No, I don't usually make motions.
Okay,
I so motion.
Okay, what I just said.
What she just said.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Is there any further discussion?
No.
All right, so all those in favor? All right. Yay! All right, so action items will not be listed on the list. Thank you for that very good suggestion. Then, do we want to talk more about the resolutions and how we want to handle that?
I think that if we're going to take something beyond this committee, and make a recommendation that we absolutely should have.
So for action items that go beyond the employee,
for action items that go beyond the EA, even if it's to Mary, absolutely we should have a resolution. If it's something that we're simply doing amongst ourselves, such as the Chili Chat, where we're organizing it, we're following it through, we're taking care of it, if it's something that we are doing. I'm not so sure that it requires a resolution, and unless possibly there is such a division within ourselves that it becomes... No, I'm not going to get it. I'm just going to leave it at that. That's my opinion. I think that if it goes beyond the EA, we need a resolution. Because I don't think that it should be an email or a memo or a letter. I think if it goes beyond us, it should definitely be a resolution because it's more formal.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I would just add to what Beth said. I would just say in general. Because there might be an exception where it doesn't have to be. And then we're stuck because policy says it has to be and it doesn't make sense. So I'm just thinking that maybe it should be just a little flexibility there. Just say maybe in general.
Okay.
I can't think of an example at the moment, but I'm just saying just in case, that's my thought. I mean, there's other people around the table too.
And, you know, this is actually more of a practice thing than it would be what I would consider a policy decision that you're, you know, if you were to make a resolution, it really is something, a practice that you do. And you can do it when you want to do it and, you know, and when it feels appropriate. And you shouldn't feel pigeonholed into having to write one for some silly reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the goal here. It's really more just to, support the work that you're doing and move it forward.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know that there's any action that you need to take as a body. You know, you can just decide, to create a resolution, and our office would be happy to suggest times if you'd like. If you want to do a resolution, it might be, a good thing too, if someone else hasn't already thought about it.
I'll just add one small way that I think might help you think about whether you need a resolution on something or not. If it's actually an issue that you are bringing up, and there are different ways of looking at that issue, whether it's an already established human resources practice or a university practice, and you feel that should be changed, then that would be the time you would want a resolution. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of the things that the employee assembly does, they're not really issue driven. And they're either more procedurally driven amongst yourselves, or they don't reach the level of an issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what should we do here? Should we have a motion so we just agree to do resolutions? I mean, they're just sort of falling out of favor, I guess, is the term I could use. We just haven't been doing them.
I think we just need to keep it in mind. If we have something important, we'll know where maybe it should go. All right.
An action item here, I think, would actually have an educational component because, as we've done this informally, it's easy to make motions and do things internally. But what's being brought up, and one of the issues that continually been brought up over the last few months, is that, we have important things to say, and getting it out from here, we want to formalize that. In addition to that, we probably, Peter, and I'm glad to help you out with that in terms of deciding what sort of procedure about how we're going to get a resolution internally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the charter covers some of that and how that's supposed to go through, but maybe we can come up with a quick educational one-sheeter that just educates everybody, this is what we got to do, in order to get a resolution from idea to action item to resolution or a right to resolution.
Yeah.
And that would make it easy.
Yeah,
Tim. And then with the personal background, that's the word I wanted to say. It would give us a backup and I forgot the word. A history of things we did and why we did. So it gives us a better view of what we've done in the past and how we can do it in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, the membership does change. So, should that one sheet go out with the copy she's going to send us? So, or it doesn't matter?
Well, let's look at the charter and see what's in exactly, and then if not, we'll create some rules, and maybe that'll be one of the first recommendations.
Why don't we ask Amy to send around the hard copies?
Mm-hmm.
We'll all have a look at those, and then maybe from that we can sort of draft our own version of what we would like our resolutions to look like. And then we'll use the Chili Chat / Leadership Lunch thing as an example and get that drafted. How does that sound? All right, people are not very
Can we just put a deadline on when this is going to be
closure
so it doesn't go till 2010?
How long will it take you to get
retired?
A day or two.
No, I wasn't talking about her getting the thing.
No, we have to start somewhere. So that was the first step.
I know Amy's going to get those two as soon. I think about us doing brain closure, too.
Right. And, we'll have Jim Sheridan, hopefully, here on the 31st, and then we have President Fortin on the 7th, so then our next business meeting after that isn't until February 21st.
So is that a date
we
could shoot for?
We should have a lunch meeting by the 21st.
Right.
And I don't think it'll take that much.
How's that? Okay, so everybody will look at those resolutions, think about them. Peter will come back on the 21st. We'll come back on the 21st with a one-sheeter. That'll be part of our agenda and saying that this, based on what we sent out, this is what we think might work for us. And then we can all be prepared to discuss it on the 21st.
And I'm saying, can we bring closure to it on the 21st?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because we definitely want to get the resolution drafted for the Chili Cat Leadership Lunch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you guys feel good about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. So that kind of took us into the business of the day, which made me get old business. So does anybody have old business that we want to discuss? Oh, and Amy, how long do we have the room? Do we have 10 more minutes?
Yeah, we're okay.
Okay. So old business. Anybody got anything that's hanging out there that we want to discuss?
I guess it's old business. February 10th, employee celebration.
Yeah, yay.
Volunteers are being solicited in all kinds of ways you can help out.
Yeah, did everybody get
plans are coming together. It's a full day of opportunities to take in athletic events or participate in athletic events and have the community meal and enter the basketball games. And hopefully we'll all see your flyers.
Yeah.
T-shirts are lavender.
Yes.
Lavender. I just signed up yesterday.
I know one of the things that came up for the event that we did in the fall was that people, senior administration and those folks that we asked to serve didn't really get notified in a timely fashion. Yeah. And I sent Cheryl a note on that.
They've been approached, right?
Yeah, okay.
Twice.
All right, good. I'm glad you heard that.
And they're not out of town this time, so hopefully they'll show up.
Yeah, it was. I think the note got out
kind of
late, and people had
a
commitment.
Well, we wanted
to accomplish
a trustees weekend.
Yeah,
so this year it's not a trustees weekend. So.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, because that's always part of the fun, having a vice president. Yeah, that's right. That's my boss, and it's good to meet. Anything else for old business?
Is there any information? I mean, we did participate in the kickoff campaign in Barton Hall.
Uh-huh.
Is there any information on what the status of that is? I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, actually, I thought that was something. I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought that was something we could talk about with President Sporton when he's here next. You know, we should have one like the United Grade Thermometer.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
We should have that for the kickoff campaign. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
So we can see where we're at on collecting dollars. I don't know, maybe Andre, you know
something
about that.
Big secret.
Oh, all right. No.
So does that mean they haven't collected anything? It means they haven't gotten
all
anything.
Down there and
it's all talking.
Yeah. He's sewn it into his mattress at this point.
You know, I thought there was some type of thermometer.
You can go to the AAD website.
The campaign website, there's a thermometer.
Reported in the last meeting.
Oh, okay.
I heard that the silent camp. Oh, go ahead.
At the Puppet Board meeting, somebody from AAD is on the Puppet Board and said that one point three.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bigger than that now. But because of the silent phase, they already raised over $1 billion, and they've already received many more millions. But officially, it might be somewhere around 1.3. I mean, that's the biggest joke in the whole division. what the real number is, and what we're saying, and what we think it is, and what the president's saying.
Does anybody really know?
Are they reporting at the trustee meeting next week, do you think?
I imagine so.
Then we might hear new
officially.
Numbers.
Right.
Officially new numbers.
I'll keep my ear.
All right, good. But so we can get it from the trust. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, I have to just make a comment. It raises to me an interesting question. Maybe it's this Hoffman article. You know, how are we doing? We're 6 months into a campaign or something. How are we doing? Maybe for a chronicle, I don't know, Fall Print Chronicle. Because
it's,
you know, I think people, you know, like Leon,
yeah.
You know, we had all this hoopla.
And we were invited to participate, and now we hear nothing.
Because
it's all been secret.
And a lot of our parents are busy raising money.
I took a shower for nothing.
You never hear. So it might be.
interesting.
Well, we've talked about a couple of things in Cochrane, and at one point, I think we'll have probably an article or a letter, letter to the community from Charlie Frager asking staff to consider contributing to the campaign.
Oh, then we hear about it. Now they want something, then they tell us.
You know,
of course.
I remember 20 years ago, we used to be regularly asked.
I do have something with old business, not related to our capital campaign, but IOC is responsible for the elections. Do we have sort of an election timeline? Because we're here now at the middle of January, and there's a lot of things that need to happen, and Popper needs to get the word out if...
Joe, did you have a timeline from the last a couple of years ago, or I might have one that we used to, or is it that much out of date?
Or probably would just be made adjusting days for years.
Yeah.
I can look.
Right, instead of creating one for...
There's got to be one that offices something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, if there is one, or if you have something from the past. We should get on that right now.
Because generally there are meetings with Mary Opperman and President Fatney in February.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. What other topics did we want to talk about when President Sporton was here on the 7th, other than the capital campaign? I thought we might bring up the issue of the town hall meeting that he'd like to do this spring. Do you guys, you want to talk about that here first? Okay.
And how's he doing?
How's he doing?
That's the question.
How's he feeling?
Yeah, how's he doing? He's been here six months. How long has he been president? How's he doing? What's he, impressions of what's going on?
Tell us about this planet.
Yeah.
I'd like to know about
the ice cap is melting.
Is that another top secret?
I don't know. It could be.
Well, Mary mentioned it when she was here.
I want to hear about the planet survey.
Yeah.
You mean, are they going to have one?
Well, I think they are going to.
They're going to do
one,
yes. I want to know about it. Can we ask them about that?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, she'll be here too, so. Okay, she did. She brought it up in her luncheon.
I think it would be very interesting.
Yeah. Dennis, do you know anything more about
it? Well, I know that it looks like fall is when
planning. Yeah, I haven't heard much about it. All right, so town hall meeting this spring, hopefully. Capital campaign and where we're at, climate survey.
Take an hour and a half. An hour.
Because I think we sort of chilly chatted him to that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We can cost some money, though.
Yeah, we do need the money.
I'd be fascinated by a quick summary of this trip to the meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, huh?
How we lost 10 pounds.
He's going to write a book to India Diet.
Yeah.
Bengali revenge.
Please pass the curry.
Okay. All right. And as Michael said, the January trustee meetings are different from other trustee meetings because they're more focused on the medical college as a rule. So, I don't know, maybe he'll give us a little insight into it.
We could,
just
to see what the reaction is, bring up the fact that buildings are being built continually.
They are, Charles.
And how is the university planning on staffing? Adding more work to the ones we got, or adding more staff? If you can't turn around three times, our own little building is in built.
Is that part of the master plan?
The staffing is not.
The staffing would not be.
Okay.
not if it looked pretty in that regard.
However, I will say that the TGIS, the Transportation Engineers is looking at how many people will occupy new buildings and what sort of spaces, parking spaces they might take up and what sort of traffic that will create as a result of having people in the building. So I'll ask that. It's not like that.
And remember, that was one of the questions that was talked about and asked when we met as a group at the Master Planning, and the problem that was going to create, even though they wasn't thinking about the employment sector of it.
Mm-hmm.
We did put that on the table with
them. Yeah.
All right. You know, on that subject, real quick, and that was one of the things, again, I thought there was such a lack of communication with the how things could have happened with the new child care center that's going to get built, going to be built in North Campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that somehow Campus Life missed the boat, because if they had done it, I think Mary could have got Campus Life to have built that, because there is a need for the upgrading of dormitories in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Even though statistics show that in the past, the student population and with the children's center was not a worker, but all those statistics came from existing buildings where they incorporated the children's center. So you put it on the table, an architect could design new facility that would really work. And a lot of things could have happened that I think was oversight. I don't know what employees and center can do about looking at these type of things and putting it on the table so people would start considering it.
Yeah, well, she did mention that a second center is already being thought about, so getting our ideas out there to her sooner rather than later is a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing I think the employee assembly might want to question, and it's tied into the master plan, but it's the new office building that's going out at East Hill Plaza, and I understand there's even a larger office building.
She can tell you.
I don't know how we're going to pay for it.
Okay.
Since
we figure out how we're going to pay for it, then another one's going to flush. There's a lot of people out of East Hill Plaza,
mm-hmm.
and what plans are there to help to incorporate them more on campus,
yeah.
or to improve their access to campus? Are there going to be buses to come more frequently? A walking trail? I heard something to.
I mean,
they're going to be waiting for what
right.
the consultants have to say about that because
yeah.
of the different options that they've put on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the areas where they are thinking that that's where the development will be, but it begs the question of all those things, you know,
right.
more traffic, wider roads, you know, where are people going to go? Is that going to be the new center?
Right.
And there was one thing that was brought up at the master plan. I mean, we've got the 10-minute bus going downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they have one going like that east? If there's any more people out there,
mm-hmm.
definitely going to be.
Because that building will be ready for occupancy by summer.
Fall
or summer?
Yeah.
I would say fall.
Okay. So it's an issue that's going to be very
interesting
quickly.
Point, though, Dennis, because, you know, as even though the master plan is evolving and going along, building isn't stopping.
Exactly.
And within a week of the master plan being finished, it's going to be obsoleted in
yep.
portions,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
of issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just think it's a good one for the employer center to get behind. I think there's a potential real mm-hmm. wins for you there.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of folks that will be going out to that area.
Hmm.
If not right now, then in the really near future.
Do you have a sense of how many, Donna?
She's in the job. I think there are something like 400 people.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, the
GOB. I was waiting for somebody to kick you in there.
The generic office building, GOB. We call it the GOB.
It'll get an address sometime.
And, so there's that. And then the other building that Donna
be careful, those names.
Yeah. The other building that Dennis was talking about was for CIT, basically, to consolidate their operations because they've just got stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's in the real conceptual phase right now. What they brought forward and was approved has now grown in scope to twice as big as what they originally thought. So that's why I'm saying I'm not sure that that one is ever going to get up out of the ground, but I know that Francis has been clear with really like to have that happen, and I can't blame her for everything he funded or not. So I don't know if it'll get built, happens to, you know, if we originally planned or if it'll build on the side. But still, that whole area, when they plan to build the building that they're doing now, they sort of envisioned it as a series of buildings back there. So, you know, there probably will be two more buildings that go back there.
Right, and Mary sees that as the next potential place for a child care center. So employees who don't work over there but may need their children might be over there will want to have quick and direct access to that place as well. So it's both ways.
And Mary did, she did bring that up as a location, so we have that information. We don't have it just
Just changing the subject slightly, speaking of children from daycare to college, I'm currently reading a book, it's in front of me actually, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. The question I have is, if there's a Cornell staff member that has a college-age student, and that student is not admitted here but to another college, what? How much does Cornell contribute?
30% of tuition, not to exceed 30% of Cornell tuition.
That's after all other additional funding has been taken into consideration.
And today, I don't know how long it's been around, but is that realistic with the cost of education today? And should that be looked at by the
Help me a lot. Someone who has a junior in college right
I'm not saying it doesn't help. I'm not saying it doesn't help. I'm saying, is it realistic? It is realistic.
Let me take that issue a step further, and we talked about this in education committee. If we have an employee who wants to take classes at somewhere other than Cornell because Cornell doesn't offer what they need when the tuition reimbursement is there.
What is
it's not 30%. No. So
what is it?
There's something percent.
There's like 7% of TC3 tuition.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So well, why can't something like that be looked at or?
Yeah, well, we've looked at that several times, and that's, you know, the benefit that
it's a benefit.
Right, and that's what always gets thrown back at us.
So $5,200.
Yeah, I think they take 7% at $5,200, and you only get reimbursed for 4 credits a semester. If you're not studying here, if you're studying here, then your tuition is covered as a
I think maybe in the future, maybe, I don't know, the education committee or whoever might want to look into that.
Well,
to see if that's fair.
I agree with you. I mean, I'd love to see the EA come forward with a charge on that. It's been a pet peeve of mine for some time.
Perhaps a resolution.
That would be a resolution.
Is there a meeting with her?
We do. Did everybody have a chance to look over the minutes? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Can we have a motion to
approve? I motion that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? All right, minutes approved. Thank you.
Motion adjourned. Meeting's over.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.